Chloe, if you're listening, please turn off now. just this weekend alone, I've managed to get 25.5 hours, so just over a day.
Oh yeah, I'm writing it down. Don't you look at me like that. I'm writing that down for later.
That's great. That's great news.
Pro League, the lobby.
Welcome back to another week, another episode of
The Lobby.
I don't know who we are joined by this week. Can you hazard a guess?
Can you hazard a guest?
Hazard a guess.
Oh, hazard a guest.
Yes.
He's dyslexic.
I'm dyslexic.
Right, you've got to do the whole episode as high-pitched as you did for the intro. That's what I was getting at. That was our Jonah Jupp. Lena, you're also on with us this week. Hello.
Hello, it's lovely to be back.
I have to say, I know that obviously, you know, if you're listening to this and only listening, not seeing this, your hair is gorgeous.
It is, for those who cannot see, bright, luminous purple.
Cadbury's need to adopt this colour. It's better than that.
I'd take a sponsorship if they're offering it, you know? Walking around with this for free anyway, but thank you very much, darling.
Chocolate bar in hand.
Look, we've got a lot to unpack in today's episode. I suppose, first and foremost, we're so close to the BFBS Pro League Grand Final. It is the esports gaming competition for the military. Rocket League is the game. Are there still Rocket League games happening on the lead up to the Grand Final in London?
We have one more.
One more day of games.
Yeah, one more day of games next week.
Will that determine or change anything?
Not really.
Is it more like a practice before the grand final? Get everybody back together.
Do you want to explain a bit?
What I thought was happening and what you think is happening are two very different things, though, because I thought this was the first round of the upper bracket.
Right, so this is the BFBS esports team who do not have a clue what is happening over the next few weeks.
In our defense, the tournament guy, the bracket team's league ops guy is on leave.
He's on leave.
And even if he wasn't, we can't make sense of his spreadsheets anyway because they're just above us.
It's like a blooming maze.
I love you guys, but I feel like I'm with Tweedledee and Tweedledum now. We're just going to try
and...
I'm going to make a very valid point here. And that is that myself and Lena... I've been working extremely hard, focusing on the day itself.
Yes.
If I ever have to see a spreadsheet again, as much as I love Owen, all right, I hate spreadsheets so much, and the risk assessments I've have to be writing up, I'm so done.
Let's talk to us about that. Obviously, you know, Lena, you're all social media, and Jonah, I don't know what you do apart from
risk assessments.
I don't know what I do either.
So what are you doing with your time then? Because obviously, you know, for most of the summer, you were going out doing events and having these games each week. Yes. So what is like the next 7 days looking like then until the next game?
Next 7 days is just full on polish and get everything ready for the grand final. But also, we also have to start thinking about what we're going to do after the grand final, right? Because after that, after the big day, sounds like we're going for a wedding. It's all hands on deck, ready to keep the community up and running. We're going to be a lot more community and sort of media focused after the grand final because we'll have more time to do that type of thing. A lot more of the fun stuff we want to do, a lot more of the more community games, orientated games we want to play. It's just going to be a lot more, what's the word? A lot more intimate with our community rather than it being, you know, sort of a more broad, hi everybody, this is what we're doing. This is us, BFBS Esports. It's more for the armed forces community that we've already built, and keeping them sort of entertained over that sort of Halloween and festive period. So, yeah.
Okay. I'm following what you're saying. So what kind of things will you do then once the big event is over? How are you going to keep them engaged, keep them in?
So there's tons of activities going on the Discord. So we're going to be playing a lot more community games and things like that. We've also got a brand new streaming series coming up as well, which is...
Are we allowed to leak the name?
The boss isn't here. What's he going to do?
That's a good point.
Does he listen to this podcast?
If you're listening, Rob stop listening for about 5 minutes. Thank you.
We're sorry. It's going to be called BFBS Esports Gone AWOL. AWOL. It's basically... We're going to be bunking off work a little bit, playing a few games.
We're not bunking off work. We've been told to do this, by the way.
Playing some of the games we want to be playing, some of the games people will be interested in playing, giving our little take on things, but also with a little bit of a funny on the side. And yes, there may be some overcooked Danny to get in.
I'm in. I can book leave.
Yes. It's going to be a lot more of a fun stream rather than the serious sort of esports stream. A lot more relaxed and sort of seeing the real personality and the real people behind BFBS Esports and also the esports community in the armed forces. We're just more excited to have a bit more of a chill time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that sounds good. I have news.
Ooh.
No way, Danny.
That look in your eye is so mean. What are you thinking? I know what I think. I know
what's
what you're
their
thinking.
Name?
No, shut up. I knew you were going there. No, you. I am single, like really single.
So if anyone's listening,
like you know, when you're so single, what's the next stage? What do we? I'm not spinster yet. Where are we at? Like I'm in that.
I don't know. I've never been.
Oh, shut up. Oh no. No, I have news.
Okay, go on then.
I don't know if it's big or not, but I have cancelled my Xbox subscription. My Game Pass, I've cancelled it.
Yeah, late to the party. I think we all cancelled it when they put the prices up.
No, right, that's what I heard about that. I did that anyway because I noticed it had gone up, but it's going up again, like in November.
What?
Yeah, the Game Cloud thing.
Oh, I think that's probably to do with also the fact that they're... have you heard about the disc thing? Well.
Yes, yeah, because we mentioned that a few weeks back, didn't we? They're changing the
way that you put in discs. So basically, like everything's going digital, right? So if you've got a disc version of a game, when you put that in your Xbox, you then unlock the digital version of it, meaning that you don't ever need
good.
The disc
no,
again.
No, it's not.
It's
no.
It's good if you're not, you know, a boomer or someone who.
I hate the fact that we've gone discless. I have an Xbox. Remember, I told you that when I got my Xbox for free. Oh, this was absolutely months ago on the lobby, and I was like, where do I put the disc in?
The only advantage I've really thought about that sort of makes me quite excited is, do you remember the amount of times you get a disc and it's so scratched that you could no longer play it?
Happened to a GTA of mine.
I know, but now you can stick that GTA in, it'll register as GTA, and then you have an online version of it, so you can play it.
So there are some positives to it. That what they're doing is that they're introducing a strict monthly time limit for Game Pass subscribers who stream the games online through the cloud gaming service. £17 in November, and you get 15 hours a month. Right now, I could 15 hours a month, right?
Sorry,
that's not even an hour a day.
Exactly, that's exactly what our producer said earlier, and that's why one of the questions I wanted us to sort of talk about at the end of this episode is how long is too long. But I mean, like, we can look at it from when competitive versus casual gaming.
Yeah.
Right? How long is too long? Like, I remember being a kid and my dad saying, you know, you keep staring at that screen, you're going to get square eyes. I was playing the games too long, whatever. Yeah, yeah. You know, so I think it would be really interesting just to have a chat about that. Because even I hear 15 hours a month and go, excuse me. And I did double check. That's not a day. It's a month.
That is crazy. That is really, really crazy. And if £17 a month.
Yeah.
That you're paying more than £1 an hour.
It's just ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
So we'll delve into maybe that a little bit later on, but I know that the massive hype for you guys is a certain game.
So you guys, I think it's more
it's
me.
It's just you.
More me.
Oh, is it just,
I'm excited
okay.
because you're excited.
Yeah.
Oh, so sweet.
Rob and I have been
And Rob is
busy.
Is your boss.
Is our boss.
Right? He's the head of BFBS Esports.
Yeah.
You're obsessed with?
War Dogs.
Okay, is this a new game? It's coming out this week.
It's coming out on Thursday. Tomorrow. Oh my word, it comes out tomorrow. Guys.
On the day of the release of this episode.
I'm not going to be bored anymore.
cheers.
Yeah.
Like your company too.
Yeah, sorry, I mean bored at home. Sorry, bored at home, yeah.
Yes. Sorry, Mrs. Jonah.
No, so Mrs. Jonah.
Yeah, because if she hears that, she's going to be like, right, so you're bored at home.
No. I mean, yeah, we're so super excited. Just for a bit of reference, it's a UK-based game development company that have made this game, first of all, so you know it's going to be good. I mean, you know, GTA is made in the UK. Contrary to many streamers' beliefs, by the way. There was a streamer the other day who was like, wait, it's made in the UK? Basically, it's just the UK's version of a mix take of all the Americans, which is quite
okay,
funny.
I did
that's
not know that, actually. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's pretty awesome. But yes, War Dogs, we're very excited, and it's scratching a big itch for a lot of gamers that has sort of been outstanding for a long time, really. I mean, obviously, most games that have been released as of recent have sort of stuck with the same sort of game style where it's either a team versus team, sort of five-person team, fighting over an objective. Or it's sort of like a capture A, B, or C. Or the, you know, obviously the, what's it called? The Battle Royale genre, which has gone crazy. But this is a new sort of take on everything.
Okay, yeah, look, I mean, you're selling it to us. I think we can agree on that. Like, and I hear your passion for it.
I love
it. What the heck is it, though? What is the game?
So essentially, if you can picture three factions, right? There's three factions.
Well, that's very Hunger
So
Games.
Instead of having two teams, you've got three teams in each session, right? So it's 100 people, 100 players in each session, okay? 35 on each team. And their objective is to stay in the zone, or the control zone, as long as possible, right? The more people you have in the zone, the more points you get, right? And basically, the team with the most players or people inside the zone or points accrued gets the point over a certain amount of time, right?
Okay.
So there's a timer that goes up, and whoever has the most people in that area as the timer hits sort of the end, they gain a point.
But how do you get the people in your area, which sounds weird?
Here's the next thing. So there's helicopters in the game, so you got to fly people from your headquarters into the zone.
Well, you're capturing people, like other people that are playing the game. You have to capture them and make them stay in your zone.
No. These are your players on your team. So out of the 35 right. people, you've got to have as many of those in the zone as possible, right? But within this bigger zone, there's a smaller zone called the hot zone, right? A hot zone. Maybe we could get Danny someone there. Anyway, this hot zone is double points, right? So if I'm stood in the hot zone, I'm worth two people, right? So you double
the
amount of points you're capturing, right? And also, you can build these things called drill rigs. So it's a bit like a play on sort of modern warfare, and you know the capture of oil and things like that, right? Basically, you build these oil rigs and drag the hot zone into your base, right? And there's building in this game. So if anyone's played games like Rust or Fortnite, things like that, you can build fortresses, right? And try and bring that hot zone into your fortress and try and defend it for as long as possible, meaning that you can gain more points a lot more quickly. It's a bit complicated.
What I'm picturing is I've got an oil rig,
yes,
and I'm going to extract oil or
yes,
something, which gives me points and stuff. But over there, there's like the hot zone. Pointers.
Yeah.
How do I get that over? Or do I have to go to it and
build drilling, that's what drags it towards you.
That's a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
That's not very real. That would never happen in real life.
A war started over oil?
Oil? Never.
No, drilling to pull a zone towards you. Huh?
No, basically what they're trying to do is bring the concentration of players towards these bases, right? So that way it's a bit more of like an attack and defend style of game. So basically what you're getting is like loads of different game genres into one, but within a short period of time.
It's almost sort of like Capture the Flag, it sounds like.
King of the Hill, Capture the Flag, like a zone-based thing. It's just a mixture of so many different things in one.
Do you shoot people?
A lot of people.
Right, yes, okay. We hadn't clarified that this is a shooter game.
This is a shooter game.
It just sounded like where you get an oil rig and you drill and
I'm doing
you've got to stand
a terrible
in a zone.
Job of explaining what War Dogs is and doing them justice. So I'm so, so sorry to the game developers for that.
But. No, but you sound like well invested. And actually, before we started today, you went online to have a look because you've played, like, what's it called when they release like a mini version of the game? Because you haven't played
the demo.
Alpha or beta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So basically, when a game develops, it goes into an alpha, which is like the initial stages of it. And then it goes into a beta, which is like just before release. And then the game gets released.
Oh, okay.
So I've been playing the beta, which was out last weekend. And I'm playing that a lot with a lot of veterans and a lot of ex-military, a lot of serving military guys as well. We were all of us playing. We actually managed to get a full team of 35 people in playing at the same time, which was pretty awesome. But yeah.
So it is Wednesday as we record this,
yes,
and it came out weekend just gone.
As in the beta, yeah, able to be played. Yeah.
So how many hours have you put in so far? Don't look at me like that.
Chloe, if you're listening, please turn off now.
Because you brought it up on your screen, and Alaina over there went, take that to the grave.
So just this weekend alone, I've managed to get 25.5 hours, so over a day.
And that's a playtime. That's not it just being idle. That is him actively at his PC.
Oh, yeah, I'm writing it down. Don't you look at me like that. I'm writing that down for later.
That's great news, guys.
And didn't you mention that the boss is also playing it as well?
Oh, yeah. No, so Rob won't mind me saying this, I'm sure. But Rob's partner actually walked in to his office at 7 o'clock in the morning and found him asleep at his chair. Because he was also playing it as much as we were.
Oh, my God. So he's put in like 25 hours as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. The thing is, though, it's just scratching so many itches for a lot of people. Like,
missing from games before then? Like, if you had to bullet point it, give me three things about War Dogs that's scratched the itch that you didn't get before.
It's a new game mode, first of all, right? Rather than it being a sort of a retextured version of the same game, like Fortnite, PUBG is almost pretty much the same game. It's just slightly different in terms of what it looks like.
Yeah, okay.
Right? I'm going to get a lot of slack for that.
But like War Dogs is brand new. It's never existed before. So it's brand. Okay. It's brand new. There's one itch.
I think the other one for me is the developers don't care what any like creators or anything like that say. They're sticking to their guns. What they envision the game to be is what they're making. And they don't take any nonsense for any cheaters. And also, they're just hilarious.
Oh, no, cheaters? Explain that one. What do you mean?
So they were actively not banning anyone over this beta, right? Which people are like, what? So how did you have any fun if there were cheaters in all the games? It's because they were actually tracking to see how they were cheating to build all the data. So when the game releases, they can find cheaters like that.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
And also, the thing is, they've all these cheaters are now pre-ordered the game. Right, and giving
thinking
all their
we're
money
win
to
this
developers
we know what we're
and
doing,
so on and so forth, but they're just going to get banned straight away. So basically, the developers are just get free money to basically make the game better out of these cheaters, and yeah. So basically, I've had their pants down there.
So, yeah. You paint with words, Jeremy.
Yes,
I
do.
No, I mean, it sounds really interesting. Yeah, but obviously, look, I mean, you are a veteran yourself.
Yeah.
And when you are playing games like this, shooter games, things that, you know, typically you would argue that you'd see in conflict or if you are in the military.
Yes.
What's it like in terms of, like, do you ever compare to what you know from your time in the military with stuff that you hear, see, or what it looks like?
I think any soldier or veteran or anyone serving, I think they naturally do that. I mean, from things like, you know, when you reload, throwing a half a magazine away, and then those rounds magically appearing in back in your pocket, you kind of like wish that happened in real life. To I don't know, pulling guns out of places where you're like, oh, where's this gun even come from? You do it naturally, right? I mean, we've seen it on TV and things like that, them getting it wrong. And games have definitely got it wrong a fair amount of times. I mean, I think it was Battlefield released a game where they reloaded the SA-80 completely wrong. Like, it's crazy.
Like what?
I don't
know. Like, just like, I'm just trying to paint a picture, if you can paint me a picture of that.
So essentially, like, everyone knows what an SA-80 is. You load the magazine is at the back of the rifle, but like when you reload it, you put it in like it was an M4, so in front of your hands and things like that. Very
is
simple.
Is that frustrating
things, but...
though, as somebody who knows that?
No, but I think they need to have a sense of unrealism in a game to make it fun. Because otherwise, if you think about it, I mean, War Dogs does do this, but you have to like bomb up your magazines every time, like, to recycle the ammunition rather than just magically appearing. But the magically appearing is the whole point, is changing the pace of the game. Where in War Dogs, if you've got to sit in a corner and reload your magazines, you're not actively in the fight, which means the pace of the game is a bit slower. So they're actually controlling how the game plays by the tweaking things like that. So the game developers have been really clever with it, but then at the same time, making it so that, you know, you can... What's a crazy unrealistic thing? You can build a wall in about 10 seconds, right? Obviously, in real life, you feel that building walls takes ages, but yeah. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I never thought I'd hear that sentence from you. Just as simple as, you know, building a wall
just takes ages.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're an expert.
I mean, when we talk about realism, though, and we can talk about some of the TV stuff, because we were chatting about this earlier, but when we talk about realism in games, War Thunder, when we spoke to the godfather of Royal Navy Esports, we were chatting to him about it, because that one's really accurate, right?
Yeah, it's like, the problem is games get too accurate sometimes, and obviously War Thunder is one of those exceptions where it actually compromised national security. It's a really rough patch, really. And people, the thing is, you have your game developers and you have your modders as well. And the modders will try and sort of modify the game to be as realistic as possible, but sometimes at the cost of compromising
national security.
Pretty sensitive information. But yeah, I mean, I know that the government as well does... they do globally and do a very good job of monitoring what is going out and seeing how it got there in the first place and sort of tweaking it. But yeah, it does get realistic. And if anyone knows the game Bodycam, for goodness sake.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's even, like Lena said to me the other day, I don't understand how it's not under more of a microscope for being too realistic.
I genuinely thought that it was going to be one of the things that sparked another wave of... You know how the media does this thing where periodically they go, oh, do video games cause violence? And then they can never really agree, because some science says yes, some science says no. This game has such realistic graphics that when you see a video of it... I remember I saw the first ever trailer for it and I genuinely didn't realise it was a video game. It was that realistic. And I was like, this is going to cause cause controversy. Then luckily they put a major price tag on it. I think the game was like £40 to buy. Nobody's really playing it, so it didn't really blow up mainstream. So it didn't really ever get.
But it's not
that
also
attention.
Not out yet.
No, it is.
It's still in beta.
Been in beta for like 2 years now. Then
wonder why.
Yeah, but like they took footage from Ukraine, for example, in the trenches, and they basically overlaid it into a game. But you can imagine if that is giving. If being first person in that environment or being in that environment itself is giving people PTSD, are we verging on the... As someone who suffers with PTSD themselves, are we verging quite on that realm of it being inducing and being too realistic?
Yeah, like
where do we find that line?
Yeah, like it's not even just, you know, how long gaming is too long, but how real is, like, how real should it be?
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Right. Like we've always tried to promote healthy gaming. You know, we did that in season one as well. Mm. Whether it's you spending too long or too little, maybe gaming or not taking that step back, but the realism that I've not heard of body cam, and actually you, both of you just
we'll show you
it.
In a sec. We'll show
oh,
you in
no.
a sec.
I'll have to show you some footage, but yeah, I mean. For me, why do you play games? I think is the question you got to ask yourself. Do you play it to have fun? Do you play it to relax? Do you play a cozy game? You know, where you sit down and it's just building a castle, you know, and enjoying sort of the serene atmosphere, or are you playing it to have a completely realistic sort of environment where maybe the boundaries are trying to be exceeded? But yeah, that's why, like, especially Australia, I'd say, are quite good for it as well. Like they will ban games that are too realistic or they consider a risk to the public. But I don't know where globally we should be setting that standard. So yeah.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, we took that in a direction. I'm really glad that we did, by the way. But bringing it back to War Dogs, how would you just, I don't know, sum it up? How does it compare to things like Call of Duty, for example? And would you ever see it maybe being a competitive game within esports War Dogs?
I've already seen a tweet this morning saying that there's a league actually opening up for it.
Already? And they've not, like, released the full game yet?
They haven't released the full game. But this is why this anticipation for this game is so huge, is because it is scratching that itch. And there's the competitive aspect to it that, Battlefield couldn't really field because it's not got the sort of the ability to do that. War Dogs does. I reckon if they can make a 35 person team into an esport, easy peasy. Like, I'm actually quite excited to see whether the group of guys that I play with would be interested in doing that as well. We have people, like, for example, who are particularly good at flying. There's different roles the way you would have in a game like Valorant. You'd have a, you know, someone who's good at dropping smokes or someone who's good at, you know, killing people on foot. It's just so much more variety, and it caters to such a wider sort of variety of people. The people just like shooting. If you don't like shooting, you can just be a pilot, for example.
Yeah.
If you don't like being a pilot, you can just be a builder.
Build my fence.
Yeah, Bob the Builder in game.
So am I hearing the season 3 bell ringing then at the moment?
Me and Rob would love that as much as we would, but we're trying to see what the appetite is for the armed forces at the moment. So if you are a member of the armed forces community that plays War Dogs, please let us know, because we'd love to see how many people we can get involved, and if we could fill our 100 person server with mixture of veterans, serving personnel, even serving personnel from abroad, we'd love to do that and have a bash. Could you imagine 3 countries battling it out in the game of War Dogs, it'd be crazy.
Yeah, no, it would be. I mean, look, I there's been a lot to take in, and actually I'm quite looking forward to going and doing some research, and obviously we're going to lose you, I think, this weekend, aren't we, if it's being released in full?
Yes.
Yes, but I find the realism thing quite interesting. Like you mentioned, we can talk about, obviously, like TV and film stuff like that. Especially, obviously, you know, for our audience, you know, as a military audience, there's so much, isn't there, in TV and film that they get wrong sometimes.
Yes. I mean, I was sick as a combat medic. Like, I'd go like meet my parents' friends, for just as an example, and they'd go, "Oh, what do you do for work?" I was like, "Oh, I'm a combat medic," and they go, "Oh, like our girl," and I'm like, never say that again.
Is that the TV series with, what's her face?
Michelle Keegan.
Michelle Keegan.
It's terrible.
Oh, so people, like, will hear what you did, for example, and compare you then to what they see on TV.
If anyone thinks being in the military is action 24/7, you have another thing coming.
Sum it up in a sentence then, Jonah. I dare you. Come on, you're a vet now.
hurry up and wait.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah, I'll give you that one. What was the other one that Michelle Keegan was in where everybody just went, it blew up, everyone went nuts? It was Harlan Coben, and her mate in the show was RMP. I'm going to get you the photo. He was RMP, and everybody went nuts on social media because his beret was just so wrong.
So for people that understand, when you get a beret in the military, it's not shaped, it's literally like a pancake.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and people just assume that's how you're supposed to wear it. But like, when I say I've known people spend hours shaping their berry and shaving it as well, like you shave it to make it a little thinner and make it look less fluffy. Yeah, it's a bit of an art form. But yeah, what have you got?
Well, so it was in Fool Me Once, and the RMP guy, look, this is the first photo that comes up. It was on forcesnews.com from when this story broke.
That is atrocious. It's not even the right size for his head.
Is he wearing the hat? Or is the hat wearing him?
I think the hat's wearing him. But
he's wearing the wrong cap badge and everything as well.
It's not even over his head, it's on his head.
Yeah, it's not the right shape. And even I remember seeing that, like, when it came out years ago and going, that doesn't look right. Why doesn't it look right?
It looks more like a... What's the red cap? Is it in, like, the Middle East that they wear with the... Not a fedora. Is it not a fedora? No, I'm trying to think of what it's called. What's it called?
A fez.
It's like a fez.
Yes, okay, no, do you know what? I see that. It's more like of a fez than a RMP, Royal Military Police beret. Yeah. We'll call it a beret, because that's what it looks like. Yes. Is there anything else that you guys can think of where they've just got it so wrong in TV and film?
Oh, just several occasions. Uniform's a big one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, have you got any examples? I don't know if you've been thinking about this much.
I mean, I know, I've seen several... Oh, no, so there's a film that came out recently, right? I can't remember what it's called. It had...
I'll Google it. Go on,
tell me. One of the Hemsworth brothers was in it. And it was about... It was about an alien... They're basically on a training exercise and then an alien spaceship drops in and then they're all trying to escape. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, basically, there's me... I was at Purbright at the time. Anyone doesn't know, I was a reserve phase one instructor and we were sat in the crew room. Yeah, War Machine, that's it. We were sat in the crew room and we were watching War Machine. And we were just screaming at the telly because he would never, none of them would ever do their chin strap up on the helmet. And like they would get launched into rivers and things like that and then they'd lose their helmet. So I'm like, wouldn't have happened if you didn't chin strap up. just all the time. And it's like they fall off a cliff. He's like cracked his head open. He's like, wouldn't have happened if you'd done chin strap up, would it? Like,
was that not a part of the movie plot or something then? No.
Well, they killed more people by not doing their chin strap up than they did with the alien shooting them.
Risk assessment as done by Jared Adair.
Thank you very much. If anyone knows in the military as well, if you didn't do your chin strap up, your DS would just grab your helmet and launch it across the area and be going crawling for it. But yeah.
No, look, yeah, that's all really good. I think, what are the main takeaways then from today? Don't watch, what was it called, War Machine?
Don't watch War Machine.
Don't watch War Machine. It's
don't watch Our Girl and think that that's what real life is like. Because I can assure you now I spend more time in the med centre than I do in the field. Install War Dogs.
Install War Dogs. I like it. And look, Lena, I just wanted to say before we do wrap up, what's going on socials and things like that? Because we were talking obviously at the start of this about how long is too long. Have you had any responses over there?
Oh, I have. I have indeed. Let me pull them up for you. So I put something out, got some industry experts to give their opinions.
Oh, so this will be like definitive.
For anyone who doesn't know, Lena is a bit of a celebrity, especially in the Valorant space.
Micro-celebrity. Micro being the operative word.
But so you've got good contacts and a lot of people follow you who are well-known in industry. So this will be an interesting thing.
So before you reel it off, just to reiterate this, told you there was a reason I wrote it down. Comparing our Jonah's weekend 25 and a half
that's
hours.
That's not a usual weekend. I want to preface that.
That's a usual weekend. And he can't tell us otherwise. We've got no proof to the otherwise.
25 and a half hours this weekend on the beta version of War Dogs. What are your industry experts saying is too long for playing?
So I said either like over a 2 day or a day period. And over a 2 day period, we had somebody say, I think it changes if it's daytime gaming or evening/nighttime gaming, 14 plus hours. Somebody else said, 14 plus hours in a 48 hour period, 2 7-hour sessions. Anything more, you need to touch grass. Somebody said 20 minutes, and I turned around and went, I know you play longer than that, and I know you're having me on. So I messaged them about it, and they said, unironically, I would say 4 hours in one sitting and maybe 16 hours over a 48 hour period. But like 8 hours a day is probably fine if you're taking breaks, which I fear our Jonah Jupp may not have been doing. What else do we have? Somebody else said, depends on the game. If it's like an esports shootery title, 6 hours is too long. But if it's like a single player game, you know, finishing the game in one sitting is a bit too much. So those are the answers we got. It was very varied there. But basically, they all said, even some of these people are some of the most gamery gamers that have ever gamed in their life, right? And even some of them are like, that's too much.
I think for me, it was the fact it's limited time. So you got
limited
time.
But it's limited time until literally two days from now.
That's fair.
4 days, Jonah. That's all you had to wait.
Well, we're gonna be smashing out GTA 6 when it comes out, and that's 80 hours of gameplay.
Yeah, but we're on the
clock
for that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
we're bringing air mattresses into here so that we can do it as like a slumber party GTA.
Nice, yeah, okay.
We've got to do it in shifts.
Well, look, I mean, just before we wrap up this week's episode of The Lobby, do you both mind just, not monologue style or anything, but when we were earlier off microphone chatting about being a healthy gamer, because it is something we like to promote, when you're a competitive gamer and you might spend, I don't know, maybe 10 hours a day sitting down and playing a game, you guys summed it up perfectly earlier saying this is how they keep it healthy. How do they do it?
I think a mixture of physical, mental sort of relaxation as well. I mean, I know for me, I actually honestly think I perform better once I've done some physical activity.
We're not talking about your 25 and a half hours over here now, Jonah.
No. But I'm saying on a general weekday, like going for a run, I feel like I feel so much more awake, and that way you almost perform better. But it's the same for the pros, right? They have PTs, they have gyms, they go spend a long time in the gym before they go and play, because you do genuinely just perform better.
No, but I mean, you guys earlier said about if they are spending 10 to 12 hours a day on a game, they're not just outright playing, that they're actually looking back at their performance, they're analysing it, things like that. So it's not just hardcore, I am sitting at a screen and just playing.
No. I think if you break a 12-hour period down, you could probably break down to 3 hours worth of actually playing, and 3 hours worth of, you know, I don't know, what, debrief?
VOD reviews, strat sessions, anything like that.
And then another, you know, 3 hours of whatever you want to play, relaxation if you like, switch your mind off, probably don't play the game you're a professional in, and another 3 hours of you know, that nutrition, sort of feeding back, getting your body back up to the way it should be,
which is exactly what our Jonah Jupp will be doing this weekend whilst playing War Dogs for about 30 hours over
the
weekend.
He's not going to be doing any of that. This is all nice talk, but Jonah will be dead to the world.
I booked
imagine.
In an IV drip to be put into
my arm. Right, we are leaving it there. Thank you for the imagery yet again, and thank you for being on another episode of
The Lobby.